What I did is to improve the quality of the call. I muted everybody, so we won't hear any of that distraction in the background. But if you have a question, which I'm going to hope that you do, is you can ask me a question by hitting *6 on your keypad. And when you do that, it takes about, 4 or 5 seconds for it to actually activate. So be patient. You do it one time, and then I'll be able to hear you, and everybody else will hear you. And then you'll hit *6 again to mute yourself. So that's how you toggle between muting yourself and unmuting yourself. I want to welcome everybody. Here it is, January. We have so many people on the call. I'm actually really happy about that because I saw 3 days after the New Year's Eve that people may not be on the call, but it's I'm shocked to see how many of you are ready to rock and roll, which is a great thing. So Happy New Year. Happy Holidays. I hope everybody had a great time with their family and doing the things that are special. And now, of course, it's time to get back to work. And the purpose of the call, for those of you who haven't been on the call for a while, this is the first time, is really for me to coach you on anything specific that you need. This is your opportunity to pick my brains and get some special one-on-one attention. So as I go through the call with you, I have some people that in advance emailed me questions, and so those people are like in the front of the queue, so to speak. I'm going to address those questions first and make sure that it's valuable for everybody on the call, even if you didn't have that question, that you still learn something from it. Now, while I'm going through this call, you might have a question that you want to ask me. I encourage you to interrupt me, okay, because I don't like this to be a presentation where you just sit and listen. I want you to be engaged. It's easy on a conference call to kind of drift away. You might have Facebook open on your screen or you have your email open up on your screen. Try and turn that stuff off. So you need to really cause your attention. You need to focus on this. So therefore, I encourage you to interrupt me. Hit *6 when you have a question or a comment about anything, okay? After I go through the coaching questions, I'm going to go through the Power Magazine that on the Power Program website, you have to log in with your username and password. And when you log in there's a magazine on the homepage. And I'm going to go through that magazine. We have a great interview. Every month we interview a top agent or a successful agent. And this month we have a really great agent who's done some incredible stuff. Now, I want to share with you one thing because it's not part of the call, and I just don't want to forget it. So I'm going to jump right into teaching you something. This particular agent that we interviewed this month, she's had a tremendous amount of success with using a tool called Mojo. And so if you all jot that down because it's not anywhere, it's M-O-J-O. And here's what Mojo is. Mojo is a company that there's no costs involved. I'm not sure what the costs are, but when I went to the website and I looked at it, I'm not going to do it now because I want to not be distracted visually. So everybody, don't go to the site right now because I want you to focus. But go to it later, Mojo, M-O-J-O. And here's what it is. This is a company that they actually will, it's an automated system where they call FSBOs. Or they'll call a neighborhood, whatever you set up, whatever you program, whatever you pay for. And they'll auto-dial those people. And then when somebody actually answers the phone, they transfer the call to you. And then you have your dialogue with them. Now, what's really incredibly awesome about this, and what she had said to me, is that let's say you have about 10 FSBOs that you're going to call. And if you do it the traditional way where you're just dialing, you got to wait for the phone to ring, to ring, to ring, and then you get a voicemail, and you say, okay, then you hang up, and then you make the next one. And so there's a tremendous amount of time involved in trying to get a hold of somebody. And one of my favorite, I wouldn't call it a favorite movie, but it was a great movie called In Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith, based on a true story. And this movie, it was very emotional and had some really upsetting parts of it, but it was a great, it was a true story, there's a great message in it. But one of the things in the movie, the Will Smith, the character that he played, He was trying to land this job with an insurance company, and part of their training was actually an audition where they started with groups of potential salespeople, and they went through this process, and then at the end, only one person was hired, and this character Will Smith played was the one that hired. Now, what he did that helped him get this position is this was back in the day of telephones that had the dial rotary. It wasn't even the push buttons. And what he found is if he dialed somebody and then you had the conversation or didn't, then you hung up the receiver and then you look for the next call and then you pick up the receiver and then you go through the dial thing again, he noticed that he could actually get more calls done in an hour if he never put the receiver down and kept it to his ear and he just used his finger to press the down button there. And so it saved him time, and he was more productive per hour because of it. Well, Mojo, in my opinion, is that concept, because the Mojo, also what they do is they're not just dialing one homeowner at a time. They might dial six homeowners at once. And then whoever answers first, that's the one that actually gets connected to you, and the other five, the dialing stops. So if you can imagine, what would that be like if you can call six people at one time? How much time that would save you. So I highly recommend that you look into it and see if it works for you financially. I think it's, again, financially, it's a good investment, and it's not that much. Okay, with that said, we're going to officially start the call. I want to welcome everybody that is on the call. I want to welcome people that are calling from all parts of the world. Actually, I know some of you are calling overseas, and you're probably in some ungodly hour, so thanks for doing that and being part of this. Now, the first we're going to do, like I said, is I'm going to go through these questions. And if you want to ask me questions, I hear somebody. Who's there?
And bananas.
Hello? Hello? All right. I thought I heard somebody. Okay. So here's what we're going to do is if – let me go through the first question that I have here from – son of a gun, I don't have – oh, here it is. Chris Bravada. Now, Chris, if you're on the call, I'm going to ask you to unmute yourself, and you'll hit star six, and then I'll be able to hear you after about a few seconds. So, Chris Bravada, are you on the call?
Yes, no. How are you?
Hey, Chris, how are you, buddy?
Good, thank you. How are you today?
Good. All right, good. I wanted to start with you first in case you had to get off the call again early.
I appreciate it.
All right, so Chris, why don't you, instead of me reading the question, being that you are on the call, you had two questions, so why don't you ask them for everybody here?
Sure. First question, I'm a new agent. I'm a broker. I started my own company. I'm partnering with an established company in New York. I'm in California, and I have a full-time job. So I'm starting to network and starting to prospect. I'm handing out a lot of cards to family and friends that know me as a professional in another industry. So my question is, as I hand out these cards to family and friends, how do I convey to them, to convey to their network, that if they know somebody looking to buy or sell, that they refer me versus more established company or another agent with a lot more experience?
Well, so first of all, Chris, I wouldn't worry. Let's look at the main part of the question that applies to everybody, which is, how do I basically get my network of friends and family to refer business to me? I wouldn't worry about so much that you're not established as much as somebody else and all that stuff, okay? I think your network is going to trust you. And if this is the thing you're in now, that kind of counteracts the lack of experience, if that makes sense what I'm saying. Because there's a trust there that they have with you and your network. I am going to give you something that's going to help you, though, but I just want to start with the mental thing about it. Don't worry about that there's other people that might have more years or more established, okay? Now, I do want to ask you, though, what profession do you have now, this full-time profession that you're going to be networking?
I'm a consultant, basically, in an HR consulting role.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to tell you. What I would focus on is some kind of program that you have that you're promoting, not so much you, but the program itself. So, for example, I came up with, if you were talking to them, and you need to create your own elevator speech. I'm not going to create that for you because But let me give you the concept. You might say, you know, if you're one of my network people that I'm talking with, I might say, Chris, you know, I just got into, you know, I just started a new company, a real estate company, the name of it, da-da-da-da, and I really appreciate it if you know of anybody that's thinking about buying or selling, if you can give them my information just so I can have a conversation with them, because I have something for buyers and sellers that's really awesome. For buyers, I put together this buyer purchase program. It's a specific program that's designed to help buyers find properties in today's market, and it gives them things like vendors to work with, whether it's an engineer, inspector, or termite company. So it's a great program for buyers. And with sellers, I have what's called the Seller Success System, and that's really designed to help homeowners sell their house in today's market for the highest possible price. So what I'm saying, Chris, is I would focus on those two, like giving names to these programs that you have for whether it's a buyer, whether it's a seller, and tell that to your sphere that this is what you have. So they're actually going to their friends or family, not about Chris as much as about Chris's program. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And you definitely want to tweak the elevator speech, because you want to actually give them the dialogue or verbiage or bullet points to make it easy for them to transfer what you just said to them. So they may not remember everything that you said, but if they can remember, you know, he's got this thing, I don't remember what it was, but it was something that's called like the Seller Success System, or there's this buyer purchase program he has, and it sounded really interesting, but you should call him. So if you can give them some bullet point words that they can remember in their brain, that'll help them promote, okay? Now, the other thing, Chris, and I looked this up before I called you, and I'm going to say something that's going to be controversial, and I don't want anybody to, like, chime in or get upset. I'm just going to say this to you, and actually it applies to your other question, which is about you're purchasing a home, yes?
Yes.
And your question that you asked me was, if you're buying a house, should you take the commission split, or should you reduce the price of the purchase price because of your commission, you'll minus it, right?
Yes.
Okay. So here's what I want to say. You might even say to your friends or network that if they – and you've got to check your state laws, but you might even say to them that you'd give them a finder's fee for anybody that you work with. Now, that will also help those folks be motivated to basically prospect for you.
Okay.
Now, Chris, when I checked this, when I Googled this information and actually showed up on Realtor.com and stuff, they said that that's a no-no to do. But I saw something about, well, you got to check your state laws, et cetera, okay? Now, the reason why, let me tell you a story, and then we're going to move off this, okay? When I purchased my house, I did it with no money down, and here's how I did it. I'm a licensed broker in the state of New York. I don't practice anymore, of course, but I still have my license. So I have my My wife at the time, we were looking around the neighborhood, da 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 da. We looked at some houses, blah blah blah. We were ready to go back home, and we saw the sign of this house for sale. It was a FSBO. She said, "Well, let's just go look at this. Let's knock on the door." So we knocked on the door, and it turns out she fell in love with the house, and so she wanted to buy the house. And when I talked to the homeowner, I said, "Listen, here's who I am. You know, I'm Daryl Davis, and da 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 da. And I can't buy a FSBO because that goes against everything that I teach people. So in order for me to buy your house, you have to actually list with me because I can't buy a FSBO. So, Chris, I told the homeowner in order for me to buy it, they had to list with me. Are you following me?"
Yes.
And they did. So they signed the listing agreement. Now, but here's what I did. Is I wanted to put 10% down, finance the rest, because it made sense to do it that way. And so I put 10% down, but I charged the homeowner 10% commission. So I literally bought it with no money down. Now, when I called my attorney, I said, listen, I want to put down 10%, and as a broker, I'm going to get paid 10% fee. He said, well, you can't do that. It's against the law. I said, well, where does the law say that? And he says, well, I don't know, but it's against the law. I called the title company. I called the mortgage company. I called all these people, and they all were telling me it was against the law. To me, it didn't make sense it was against the law. I mean, I don't see where there's a problem here. If everybody knows it, why is it against the law? So I called the Department of State, and I told them what I was doing. Part of the reason why people were yelling at me about it being against the law is because you don't charge a homeowner 10%. You know, the traditional might be 4, 5, 6. Back in my day, it was 6 and 7s. So to even think about 10%, that was ridiculous. So when I called the Department of State, here's where I asked her, is this against the law? And here's what the woman said. She said, well, I don't know. Let me check. And so she flips through the page, and I hear her flipping through the law. And she starts to read it to me and says, a broker's fee can charge whatever they want. It's negotiable as long as it's not unconscionable. And I said to her, is that what it says? She says, yeah. I says, well, I don't have a problem with it. And she laughed, and she said, yeah, I guess if, you know, you're charging, you know, 10% commercial, why could you do it in residential? So, yeah, I guess you're okay to do it. So I bought the house. I did everything that I just said, Chris, okay? So first of all, to answer your second part of your question, you should not reduce the commission. You should take a commission buying the house and use that cash back at the closing to help offset your closing costs. Are you with me?
Okay, yes.
So that answers that question. Now, going back to the other question about paying fees for people that give you leads. You know, if a mailman gives you a lead, you give him, you know, $500 or something. According to what I found online, it sounds like it could be against the law. But on the other hand, to me, if I had an assistant working for me and they made their own hours and part of the pay that I paid them was that if we got a listing into our team, she would get a $500 bonus. How is paying a, you know, somebody like a kid who finds a lead that you give them $500? Like, I don't see where it's against the law if you can hire somebody. So you should look into it, and that's another suggestion I have for you to motivate your network to give you referrals, okay?
Great. Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome, Chris. All right, let's go on to the next call. I mean, the next question I had, and that is from Bernadette. Bernadette, are you on the call? If you're on the call, I want you to hit *6, please. That will mute you, and I'll wait for Bernadette real quick.
Yes, I'm on the call.
Hi, Bernadette. How are you, darling?
Hi, there. I'm great, thank you.
Awesome. Where are you from, Bernadette?
I'm from Annapolis, Maryland. I work in Severna Park, Caldwell Banker.
Awesome. So, Bernadette, ask me your question, and then I'll tell you what I think.
Well, I don't remember what it was now. It was from last show. You look at my face.
Bernadette, that's all right. You did ask me 2 weeks ago, so, and a lot's happened between Christmas and New Year's and all that stuff. So, Bernadette, here's what you asked. You asked me, shouldn't we research the property as if we were going to go list it or to show it, and that we did our research. For example, you know, we have the address. Should we go to the tax records, go to the land records, run a RPR seller's report, get the history of the property, and suggesting a listing price? So for those of you that use different terms, the bottom line is Bernadette was asking me, should you do a lot of the checking about the property, their tax records and lot size and actual legal stuff before you go to the listing, so you have that, you're all ready to rock and roll. Does that sound right? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Bernadette, here's my thought on that. As you probably know, I'm really big into CISBOs and expires. So I think in having that kind of research and information going into a CISBO is not a good idea. But on a referral or somebody who's asked you to list their property, or an expired, I think that's okay. Now, here's why not the FSBO. If in your listing appointment you start to show them all this information that you have about their property, it might put them on the defensive as if, like, you had their Social Security number and you got all of this information about them. Do you follow me?
Right.
So when you're talking to a FSBO, because you're going into a situation with a FSBO, where if you do it the way I teach it, the chances are they're letting you in just to see the house and maybe have a conversation, but they definitely don't want to list with you. And it's during the conversation that goes on for a couple of hours that that you wind up leaving with the listing. Having that kind of information on a FSBO appointment and showing them you have that information is similar to calling a FSBO and you start the call this way, which is not the way you should. Ring, ring, you answer the phone, you say, hello. I say, yes, hi, can I speak to Bernadette? Well, right away, you'll be like, well, who are you? Like, how do you know my name? It'll feel too intrusive. It'll feel like, you know, you've got inside information on them that they don't want you to have. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't talking about sharing it with them, you know, just for my own knowledge, you know, and, you know, just showing that you know the property and probably know the neighborhood and know the area and kind of make them want to peep over at your notes, but you're not going to leave them with anything because you're not guaranteed to listen.
I agree. Well, here's what I would do with a FSBO to accomplish the same thing, Bernadette. First of all, if you want to do that for your own information, that's okay.
Right.
But, depending on the time that's involved, you know, if it's going to take a certain amount of time, like, I don't know what that is. If it's going to take you 5 minutes, that's fine. If it's going to take you 15, 20 minutes to do it, no, I wouldn't do that. And the reason why is because you're spending 15, 20 minutes on something that you may not even get a listing on after you've gone over there, so you kind of wasted your time. But let's go back to the other thing you said, which is to show them how knowledgeable you are and how professional you are and how experienced you are. Any of those things, I think that could be accomplished a different way. I would show, you know, one of the things when you go to a FSBO and you're telling them that one of the reasons why working with realtors is better for a homeowner than doing it on your own is because usually buyers don't walk into a house and say, I want to buy it. What happens is they walk into the house, they like the house, they leave. And then I start to think about, well, we really like this house. What should we do? Maybe we should consider the other house. So they start going through the decision process, not in front of the homeowners, but after they've left.
Mm-hmm.
With a realtor, the realtor is behind the scenes after the appointment helping that buyer make that decision. We can actually follow up with a buyer where a FSBO can. See, if a FSBO calls a buyer they think is interested in their property, they've actually put themselves at a weakness because it's the buyer may think, oh, the homeowner's calling me, the homeowner must be desperate, and so therefore we can negotiate a better price. So the moment a FSBO calls the buyer to follow up with them, that puts the seller at a huge disadvantage. It's totally acceptable for me as a realtor to do that without tipping our hand or showing that we're anxious. Here's the other thing, and you can do this as an example. You can actually show them when you do a public open house, and I would show the homeowner a list of all of these people on one of your open houses that came in, and they actually signed in on a sign-up sheet, and let's say you showed the FSBO, there's these 20 buyers that came to an open house, and here's their sign-ins. I can follow up with all these 20 people and not look like I'm desperate because people expect a realtor or salesperson to do that. But if you as a homeowner had your own public open house and you try to call these 20 people, every one of these people are going to say, oh, the homeowner must be desperate. Here's something else is the school information. One of the things after a buyer goes and they look at a property and they like the property, one of the things that they start to do too is they start to look at the schools. How do they rank compared to other places? Let me show you what I show my buyers. And then I would show them one of the, like, e-school reports that shows how schools rank in the neighborhood. And this is a conversation I can do with a buyer after they've shown the property that a first sale by owner can't. Here's something else. When a buyer comes into a house and they like the house, the next thing they do is they go look at a mortgage. Can we afford this house? What's the mortgage payments going to be? What's our options? So now they start talking to mortgage companies. Let me just show you one mortgage company, and here's a list of all the different programs they have. And at that point, Bernadette, I would show ABC Mortgage Company and how they have like 20 different programs. And we said, this is just from one mortgage company. Now, if a buyer who's looking to buy your property and they are faced with just this one company with 20 options, they start to get confused. And when buyers are confused, let me tell you, they procrastinate and then they take no action. What I do is when the buyer is looking for the mortgage, I kind of hold their hand and make sure that they don't get overwhelmed and confused and therefore not move forward on buying the property that they want. And this is just some of the reasons why working with a realtor can help a homeowner sell the house for more money than the for sale by owner doing it on their own, because you're missing out on what's being said after they leave your house. Did that help you, Bernadette?
Yes.
So that's kind of what I would, first give me an email. Hang on one second. What's this, a question? Somebody's asking me a question here. Okay, Grace. All right. Grace, I think you're on the call, so April was telling me. I'll come to you in a second, Grace. Bernadette, did that help you at all?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Do you have any questions about that?
Oh, no, I'm good. I see your point.
Yeah, I'm not saying, listen, if you can research the property quickly and not waste time on it, great. My style is, and keep in mind, you know, it may work with the clients that you work with. If you show them, listen, I did some research and here's what I found about your property. If you think you can show that research without the FSBO getting defensive, like, how did you get this information? Where they're going to get scared that you can get this inside scoop on them. If you think you can do that effectively, then you should. That's fine. That's the only concern I would look for, okay?
Okay.
All right, Bernadette. Thank you so much for your question. All right.
Thanks, Sam.
You're so welcome.
What's the name of the agent?
Grace, are you on the call? You sent an email with a question. And then I have Tamaj. Tamaj has a question, which is Grace. So Tamaj, get ready. Grace, are you there? If you are, hit *6 on your keyboard one time, on your keypad, I mean, not your keyboard, your keypad, and I'll be able to hear you. Okay, Grace,
Hi.
Is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
Hi, Grace, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, Grace. Where are you from?
Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas. We got a lot of Texas people. Yeehaw. I guess
yeah.
You all didn't. You didn't get snowed in like us Eastern people here. So, all right.
Yeah,
so, Grace, what's your question on?
I'm just starting out. You know, I have a referral for lead for a buyer. So, I want to know the steps of what to tell, what to say to get their confidence that they will hire me or something.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay, so Grace, you have a buyer that's come to you, and it's a referral, and
mm-hmm.
You want to know how to get that buyer to work with you. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And Grace, how long have you been licensed, then?
It's been just a year.
A year, okay. And what do you do now when you get a buyer?
When I get a buyer, then, of course,
yes,
I'll
be really... Because you've been doing this for a year, right? So you've gotten some buyers? You've worked with them before? Or?
Right, yeah. I did work with some buyer because it's just random, because most of the buyer I have is like already a friend. So it's just easy. You know what I mean? I don't have a step to really say, okay, you buy this. But this one is kind of not on my comfort zone. This is different people. So because of your program, I want to have a step, like you have a step for listing presentation. And
yes.
I was looking somewhere here if they have a buyer's presentation, like a flyer that I can show and like a step. So that's something that I want to really learn, you know.
All right. Well, let me tell you, this is a long answer, longer than we have for this call. But now, hang on.
Okay.
I don't want to just leave it that way. I'm going to give you something to help you right now.
Okay.
But you made me realize that, let me just see something here. Yeah, let me just see. I'm looking in the classroom right now. I want to see if there's something up there for you. Okay, so there's an audio program that I'm going to post on the website, Grace, under Learning Systems, okay? And it's called Playing with Buyers. So I'm going to make sure that's up there because I know it's not up there. So I'm going to get that up there for you. That's the first thing. But give me a couple of days on that. But right now, let me give you this much, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What you should do is when you sit down with a buyer, the first thing you should do is give them a little bit of information about yourself, your credibility. So, and you should have a visual book just like you have for a seller. You should talk about your background, how long you've been in real estate, anything that gives you credibility, anything that makes you look strong and experienced. That's the first thing. The second thing is I would talk about your company and a little bit about your company, how long it's been around, the value of your company, so they feel comfortable about that. Then the third thing I would do is give them what I call the State of the Union address for real estate. You know how the President of the United States at the beginning of every year, he has a State of the Union address, which he talks about what's happened in the last, you know, year and what his plan is moving forward in the next year. And I think you should do the same thing with a buyer when you sit down with them, is you give them some information about what's happening in real estate right now, what's happened over the past few months, and what's anticipated to be happening in the coming months. Now, you can find that information a lot of different ways. One of the easy ways to do it is just even going online, going to CNN, Googling real estate, and you'll find articles, so many articles out there about what's happening. Like right now, there's a lot in the news. I personally watch CNBC and CNN, and I keep hearing in the past couple of weeks about how the real estate market has gone up so much, and what's projected in the new year, and how interest rates are so low. So all of those things I would show a potential buyer. You also may want to show them, what was the average sales price last year in your market in Texas, Dallas, and what it was like 12 months later. In other words, if you can show a buyer for the 12-month trend for your MLS, for your neighborhood, and if it looks like prices are going up, if the amount of houses that are for sale have gone down, if the average time from listing to contract is gone down, anything that shows it's a hot market will help motivate the buyer to buy now versus later. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
Okay. Good. So that's all. So that's what I'll get. That's what should help you tremendously right now. Is talk a little bit about your credibility and experience, a little bit about your company's experience, and how long they've been around, and the market share, anything that shows your company is strong. And then the third thing is give them an idea of what's happening in real estate and make sure it's to create a sense of urgency, why now is a good time to buy before prices go up more or interest rates go up more. And then after that, I would start talking to them about buyer agency, and then what they want to accomplish, what they're looking for, and then start showing them the property, okay?
Okay. Thank you. That's just the first
thing. I think I gave you a lot in a five-minute answer.
Right, you did. Yeah, that will help.
All right, great. Thank you. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, hon. All right, hit star 6 again, and that will mute you. Tamaj, if you're there, I want you to hit star 6 one time, and that will unmute you if you're on the call. Tamaj, are you there? This will be our last question that was sent to me ahead of time, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the magazine, and then I'll see if there's any other questions on the call if we have time. I want to get to the magazine because there's some really awesome stuff in the magazine this month. Tamaj, are you there? I guess you're not. So Tamaj's question that he asked me.
Can you hear me?
Tamaj? Yeah, I can hear you. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great, buddy. Do you have me on a speakerphone? If you do, be better not.
Yeah.
Yeah, take me off because it'll be better for both of us. Okay?
Yeah, that's enough.
All right, so Tamaj, here's your question. Go ahead, just ask me your question. Do you remember what the question was?
No.
All right. Okay. Well, you asked it to me yesterday, so you got to really stop drinking if you can't remember what you asked me yesterday. Tomas, here's what you asked me. You said, what is the best contact management system to use, and what is the least time-consuming way to stay in touch with and build loyalty with your past clients? Which is a great question. So here's, I got some suggestions for you. The first thing is, as far as the contact management software, I used to say that, in my opinion, the best one was Tom Producer, but I've had a lot of students lately be using this other one called Market Leader. And I'm hearing a lot of great reviews about Market Leader. I heard nothing bad. Both programs, Tomas, it's going to take, there's a learning curve involved in implementing it, so you got to get ready for that. And what I mean by that is, you know, whenever you take on something that's dramatically new, like if you hired an assistant, that's dramatic, a database, dramatic, a marketing campaign, dramatic. Anytime you do a dramatic addition to your business, you're going to lose some business because you're focusing on implementing this new thing. And there's a learning curve to this new thing, right? So you've got to be prepared for that. If you're not prepared for that, then don't do it yet. So, for example, if you were like, you know, when I was talking to Laura at the beginning of this call, where she had a really good last quarter, but she sold all of her inventory, everything's closed, so she has nothing pending as far as contracts, and she has no listings. Well, that would be not a good time for her to implement a contact management. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have, you know, whatever you want, like a half a dozen or a dozen listings, if you don't have some shoes in the shoe store, you should not do this yet. So January, everybody listen to me, January is the month when you should be really focusing on getting listings, especially these next 2 weeks. It'll still be great the whole month of January, but definitely these 2 weeks, you should tell your family, oh, listen, you know, we had the holidays. I took some time off. We spent some money. I can't see you now for the next 2 weeks because I'm going to be in the office prospecting my butt off to get more inventory for our shoe store. Now, if you have that, Tomas, if you're solid with that, I would still maybe not consider doing the database until after the middle of this year. I mean, the middle of January, because, again, this is a great listing time, okay? So I would look into Top Producer. I would look into Market Leader. As far
I
as
use
things,
Top Producer right now, and I hate
all right.
it.
You hate it?
I hate it.
Okay.
Yes, I hate it. Yeah, I'm looking for something that's better. Just I need to shift.
All right, well, then, listen, Market Leader is the one, and I would contact them. I'm pretty positive that they have the ability to upload your Top Producer contacts into that. You might even be able to negotiate some pricing on it when you're trying to steal a customer away from somebody else. Sometimes you can get a deal. I don't know if that's true about Market Leader, but that's a concept about business. So check it out, okay?
Okay.
Darrell, I had some experience with Market Leader. I actually tried them free for 30 days. And what I didn't like about it is it requires too much of your time to maintain the site. Like, they want you to send it to Craigslist and send it to all these different sites, which to me took a lot of time. You know, they help with setting up the website and setting up your, you know, user website. But other than that, I was like, I don't have time for all this. I didn't like it.
Well, Brian,
and it was free for 30 days.
I appreciate the 2 cents on that, Bernadette. That and that, so you know, Tomas, you got to listen to what Bernadette said, and that now that should be up front for you to to be concerned about. Weigh that, you know, you need to weigh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Top Producer does it for you. Maybe you're not using Top Producer the right way. Maybe you've got to watch some videos of Top Producer. Maybe there's functions in there that it does that you're not aware of that maybe you would like it more. So, I'm not saying that that's true. I'm just saying look at that, all that, okay?
Yeah,
and I can give you the contact information if you want to try it for free on your own, you know, with no investment, but it was a lot of work that they expected you to do.
Now, Bernadette, did you try something else, or do you have a database?
Well, I was fine. We have our own contact management system at Coldwell Banker, and, you know, I was perfectly fine with the way that, because I'm very computer savvy, with the way that I was doing it, but you know, when they offered me this free trial for 30 days to try their product, I said, why not? But then as I was doing it, you know, and leading up to the build-up and then how they want you to maintain everything, which is the reason why you use contact management databases to get you away from doing all of that, it was too much work.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, if anybody else has any other suggestions, but those are the two companies I've heard, you know, that's Bernadette's take on it, and that's the first negative that I heard on it. I have some other top agents that love Market Leader, so it's definitely a preference thing. Just like outside of real estate, there's other contact management softwares. There's Salesforce, there's ACT, there's Infusionsoft, and everybody has their own strengths and weaknesses, and so it's kind of a personal thing, which one do you prefer? If anybody else has any other suggestions as far as contact management, just call it out now. Okay, fine. Now, Tamaj, going to your other question, is how to build loyalty with your past clients. Here's what I think about past clients. Now, first of all, Brian Buffini is really good. I mean, that's his niche market as far as speakers and trainers on working past clients. And but I'm going to give you my opinion as to what I would suggest, okay? And that is Brian's really into sending stuff to your past clients once a month. And to me, I think that's good, but I also think it's maybe an overkill. I don't know if it's that necessary every month. But quarterly, I think, works really well. And so that way, every 3 months, you're touching them. And I made a list here, Tamaj, of just some of the things that you can send out every 3 months to your past clients. And I think it's easy, and I think it's cost-effective. Once a year, you should send an updated marketing, like a coupon for a CMA. But I wouldn't call it a CMA. I would call it a neighborhood market report. And the subtitle would be, find out what your homeowners are paying for their houses. It's still a CMA, but I like my terminology better. So I would do that once a year because every homeowner should know what their house is worth. They should have that done every year, an updated neighborhood market report. The next thing is on any new deals that you have this year, you should send them the HUD closing statement in January 2nd. So right now, any closings that you had last year, what I would do is I would send them the HUD closing form and tell them they're going to need this form for their tax records to give it to their accountant. They probably have a copy of it, but they probably also lost it. So that's another contact in January. When the summer months come around, maybe you work out some deals with vendors, for example, a central air conditioning company where there's a coupon on getting it serviced one time or to have an analysis done on somebody's central air conditioning. And you negotiate with the vendors to give you discounts because you're actually promoting their company. Even if people don't use the coupon, you've actually promoted them. So most realtors and most companies are really good at working with realtors and giving them discounts. So any coupon to any vendor is an idea. Holiday contests are always good to do with past clients, whether it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, or in today's magazine, I have for you a contest for Valentine's Day. So any contest.
What do you mean by a contest?
Well, for example, this today's magazine, let me just go to it. It has a Valentine's, it's really for kids of your past clients. And when you get a chance, look at it. It's on page 39. This company, I took a copy of it because I thought it was awesome. There's this pizzeria I went into in one state. I don't know what state I was in. But they had this thing there. It was called the Rockies Valentine's Coloring Contest. And it says, kids 12 and under, color the Valentine's picture and enter your coloring contest. The winners will receive a dessert and a free meal at Rockies Pizzeria. Parents, fill out the entry form below to enter your child in the contest. So it's a simple little coloring contest. You do a mailing, very simple. They say that, you know, ladies know this expression, the best way to a man's heart is through his stomach, but the best way to a parent's heart is through the children. So some kind of contest like that. Now, one of my other students, Larry Gardner on Long Island, He just had a couple of holiday parties for his past clients. He had a mortgage company sponsored. He had T-shirts. It became a really big event. Cost thousands of dollars, but a lot of it was offset by the mortgage company. So doing one, you know, client appreciation day, which is what he did, is another idea. And anytime you can refer a vendor, whether it's a hair salon, whether it's an accountant, anytime you can give something of value to people. And then the last thing is anything to do with the market. You know, if you see an article, you pull it off the website, you look at your MLS stats, you can send that out. And if you wanted to make it really easy, so I just gave you a bunch of ideas, Samaj, but if you wanted to make it really, 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 really easy, is that every quarter you can just send your own quarterly report to your homeowners about what's happening in the market, and you can pull that information off your MLS. You know, in the last 3 months, property values have gone up this percent, the average market time for a house to sell is this, the list price to sales price ratio is this. So you can simply do a simple MLS report and just put it on a nice layout on a flyer and with a cover letter that is a template. Dear Hana Hana, I hope all is going well. Here in close, find your quarterly update as far as what's happening in our market, in our neighborhood. And if you need anything, let me know. And then you can throw some PSs in there. You know, I have a certificate for a handyman. If you need a handyman, give me a call. And so you can always use the PS to give a little something, something extra if you ever have the want or need or desire to do so. Did that help you, buddy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great, great ideas.
Yeah.
Sending them something in the mail 4 times a year.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Yeah. And if you wanted to throw in there, you know, calls in between those quarterlies, if you schedule days that you're prospecting every week, you know, maybe you throw one or two past clients or friends too. Hey, how you doing? Just checking in. You know, I'm in the office here working. I was thinking about you. You know, seeing how the house is going, how the kids, anything like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cool. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome, Tomas. By the way, I love that. I love that. Just pulling your stats every quarter off your MLS. Like I didn't have that in my notes, and I just thought of it, and I really like that.
Yeah, that's easy.
All right, gang. So listen, we've got 8 minutes left on the call, and here's what I want to do is before we end this call, I want to go over with you what the magazine is. There's a few things in there. Now, if you're not in front of the website, thepowerprogram.com, if you don't have your username, password, you lost it, you're driving, you can't get access to the website, just make mental notes about what I'm going to tell you real quick. Or if you can write it down and you'll look at it later. This month's magazine, the first part of it is the interview of this great agent. And then after that, there's some forms and things I gave you. Now, starting on page 21 is, actually starts on page 20, it's called My Life Business Plan. And it's pretty awesome. This business plan goes through, I'm going to just read you some of the things. There's an exercise trying to help you find your life purpose, and you go through these questions. For example, question number one is list two of your unique personal qualities, such as enthusiasm, creativity. The next question is list one or two ways you enjoy expressing those qualities when interacting with others. Then it goes on to say, why did you get into real estate? Who does my work serve in my personal life, meaning that your work in real estate, who does it help you in your personal life? What are your best talents in real estate? Are there any negative aspects about your work that you don't like, and what can you do to remove it? So anyway, there's some really great things in here about helping you design your life purpose and how to be committed to your next level in your real estate career. Also, part of the business plan talks about relationships. You know, finding your purpose in your marriage or committed relationship. The reason why I put that in there is because you all know if you're married or in a relationship, if it's not going well, it impacts our real estate careers because we're distracted, we're stressed, we're worried. So it's really important that our personal relationships with our significant other or our spouse is solid, on solid ground. And so I put some things in there, like when I first met my spouse or partner, what activities were we both passionately interested in? What goals for our future did we both share? What vision did I originally have for our relationship? So it's a little exercise for you to get a little bit more grounded in your relationships. Then it goes through defining your life purpose. You know, if I had a magic wand and I could do anything, what would I want? If real estate is not for me, what can I do to start transitioning into something new? The reason I'm passionate about this is because, so this is a really big business plan. And then it goes into setting goals for 3 months in different categories in your life, financial, career, family, health, relationships, personal growth, and making a difference. This business plan that I gave you guys, I probably should, I could tell you that it's going to take you probably a couple hours to do. But I hope, and I created it in such a way that it will actually be transforming for you. So it's not just a form to fill out, but it's a process that you will go through, a self-discovery process that will get you recommitted, rejuvenated, and excited about your life. So there's a lot of work that I put into this, and, you know, it's going to be a lot of work for you to do it. But the value will correlate with that. Now, page 31, there is a flyer here that one of our students uses, Lori, and it says, attention realtors, please take one of these for your assistance in writing a contract. So what she does is this flyer is that after an agent shows a property, if the buyer likes the property, they're going to write a contract. They can take the sheet and it has some of the stuff that they need to know. Now, a lot of this stuff is already in the MLS, for example, the legal description, the inclusions, exclusions, earnest money, the preferred closing date. Some of this stuff, or all of it, might be in the MLS. But what's cool about the flyer is a couple of things. Number one is it just makes it easier for the selling agent. Number two is it helps to highlight the property. It's like a feature sheet, but it's assumptive because it's about a contract on that house. But the other thing that's really cool about it is if you put this together and you show a FSBO, this is one of the things I do to help get the property sold, is I create this contract sheet, if you will, that realtors can take after showing the property. That's powerful to show a FSBO. Here's another thing on page 32, is these are sample of cards. Some of you that have been around real estate as long as I have, Tom Hopkins used to have this thing where they were little tint cards that had features about the property. You had these printed up, and he used to sell these, actually. And you would put these tint cards around the house. So, for example, one of the tint cards says the sump pump is under this freezer, or based on the agreed upon sales price, a carpet allowance may be considered. This property backyard is fence goes to this property. So there are all little things about this is new appliances that you would put around the property, and pretty cool. Some new construction builders, I think, still do this technique. I love it. I think it's an oldie, but it's a goodie. Page 33 in the magazine, it's the homeowners have a children, that this is a listing agreement for children. You would say to a homeowner that one of the things about moving is it could be very traumatic for children. And so what I do to get them engaged and excited about the move is I actually make them like a part of my team to help me. So I have a children's listing agreement that your child could sign. For example, it says, I know that our parents have asked Jan to sell our house. I know that Jan is and our team are going to work hard to do that. I'll be on Jan's team, too, and I will help the team by making my bed, picking up the toys, turning on the lights when people come to see the house. So in other words, I make them like my, you know, realtor assistant. And the child gets very engaged. It's very positive. So this turns into a positive, fun play experience versus I'm leaving my friends. And so that's a great listing technique to show a homeowner that this is what you'll do if they decide to hire you. Page 34 is a great card to leave whenever you show a house that it's not your listing to let the homeowner know you were there. Page 36. I love page 36. Please make a note of this. And this is, Tomas, this might, you'd be interested in this too. Now, this is for current sellers. So any of your current listings, and those of you that have taken my 3-day training course, Sure Results, which, by the way, if any of you want to ever come to spend 3 days with me, 9 to 5, and get so much more than what we do on these calls, Go to this website called mysureresults.com, and that's where you can see whenever I'm doing my three-day live training class. I don't do that many. I do maybe 3 to 6 a year. And we're doing one next week starting Monday in Long Island, New York, to kick off the new year. We're planning New Jersey and Philadelphia in February. But anyway, if you've taken my course or you have the manual, the Sure Results manual, in there there's a bunch of letters that you send to homeowners. Or if you bought the servicing listing package that has a whole bunch of letters in it, whenever you get a listing, it communicates with the homeowner, here's what you're doing to get their property sold. But it's a letter. This page, page 36, the idea is actually doing postcards. So, for example, one of them is garage sale. Moving time is a great time to clean out the closets. You'll have less to move, and you'll be able to start off fresh. If you have a garage sale, please call my office and let us know at least a week in advance if possible. You know, we can help you with a garage sale, whatever. So it's a postcard that you would send to your sellers. Tell them, listen, you may want to have a garage sale, clean out the clutter. There's another postcard that says, hey, listen, if you're ever going to leave, you're planning on going out of town or something, just let me know. So these postcards are a way to communicate with your homeowner, give them ideas. It's a great customer service. It's easy because, listen to me, gang, this is the part that I love, is that you can have these pre-printed. So you can have, like, you know, 200 cards. If you go online really cheap, you can have 200 cards printed. And you have this mailing campaign of postcards for your sellers that just stays in communication with them, which is very important. When you get a listing, you've got to stay in communication with them. And you can mail these postcards to them every other week or once a week. I'm going to jump to page 38. It says how to prepare for a showing in 10 minutes or less. This is great to give to your current sellers. But it's a great flyer to actually, once again, show to a FSBO. This is what I give to my clients. You know, when you show them all these kind of things, they'll be like, wow, this is pretty awesome. The last thing, because we're going over our time, is two things. I'm going to page 40 and 41. Page 40 is the home selling probability checklist. Anytime a homeowner does one of these items, it increases the probability of them selling their house. So in other words, if they agree to a yard sign, that's 10 points. Hire commission, 10 points. Home protection, 10 points. Cleaning the house and no clutter, 10 points. Listing at the recommended price, 20 points. It's a great listing technique, and it really is to help you get it priced at the right price. That's why we have 20 points on that. And the last one on page 41, there's a letter. Dear homeowner, do you need to sell your home quickly? We can help. We have investors who purchase several houses per month, houses just like yours in the neighborhood, just like yours in every part of the country. This is a great prospecting letter. It does go on to say that we're not realtors in this letter because this is an actual letter that I received, so you can tweak this letter. But there's a thought also of just doing a mass mailing saying that you have investors looking to buy in the neighborhood, and that might also generate your phone to ring. Okay, so, we're a couple minutes past 12, but I hope this call helped you. I think we accomplished quite a bit. And the last thing I'm going to leave you guys with, don't forget that if you want to ask me any questions, to send it to me via the Power Program website. You know, just click on there. You can record it. But make sure you do that. When you get off this call, if you want to do it now so you don't forget, I'll print it out and I'll cover it on the next call. Number two, don't forget to go to the website and look at the dates of the future calls. Don't expect me to remind you about these calls. You need to manage your own time. So the calls and the dates are there for February, March. Put that in your schedule now. And the last thing I want you to remember, and I've already said, I'm going to say it again, is this is a month to build your listing inventory. You need to really focus on that as much as possible. People are going to be open to it because they're like the holidays are over, they're committed, they want to sell. Go get those listings, okay? Get shoes for your shoe store. You need that in the first quarter this year. Okay. God bless you guys. Thanks for calling in. Have a wonderful week. Thank you. And for those of you in the blizzard, stay safe, stay indoors. Wait till tomorrow. All right, gang. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.